Blog Talk Radio.
First World Order Radio, finally, finally, we are on the air, no doubt. All right, all right. There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. Begin on into some of that order consciousness tonight. First World Order Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. We got to talk about what is taking place on the planet. There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. First, we need to let you know we're going to be doing more shows, giving out more information on Wednesdays. Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we are now going to make this the hottest day of the week.
Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates to bring about specifics in the room based on value and natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the air, same as your thoughts transmits it. Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. Order. System regulates to bring about specifics in the group based on value and natural characteristics. Radio. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the air, same as your thoughts transmits it.
You need to understand how magical this something like this every Wednesday can become. So you need to start getting your calendar right, get your schedule right. You need to know our intention straight out.
All right, so, I mean, these clues are given throughout the various languages for us to piece the puzzle of this ancient mystery school back together again.
And what we plan on doing, both of us, is bringing y'all some surefire dynamite. We're going to take this level up a notch. We're going to have stuff to do here. This is not just going to be about philosophies and theories, shit that works.
You have an activated pipeline in which I produced this black chemical called melanin.
What we did was gave a hard line in the sand between the different definitions of esoteric study and exoteric study. Playtime is over.
Greetings, peace. I'll be your host tonight in the place of Dr. Aleem L. Bay. I am Fahim Witten Ill, and I'll be your host. And the topic tonight will be Nationality Part 3, and also dealing with the issue of Negro, the Negro problem. All right. Let's go to lesson number 5, civic lesson number 5, by Brother Abdullah Il Talib Mosi Bey. Okay? We start off, we go into the nationality. Says here, nationality, which arrives at birth, coming from the word nativity, which means to be born, is the hereditary genetic birth line of any people of the same parentage. In divine natural law and in the harmonious national and international civic law, nationality lawfully bonds any people of the same pedigree together. Nationality determines the political and social status, position, or rank in any society. And the categories of citizenship status is the first issue that must be addressed or considered in the national and international civic arena. Furthermore, nationality distinguishes between the indigenous sovereign citizens and foreign nations and or aliens in all sovereign nations. Nationality determines who has all the rights and the privileges to all the resources and benefits, and who has limited rights and privileges to the resources and benefits of a sovereign nation. A national written constitution agreed upon by the sovereign citizens protects their sovereign rights to all the resources and benefits of their sovereign nation, whereas foreign nationals have limited rights and privileges to the resources and benefits through treaties that their governments make and with the sovereign government in which they visit or live. To give you an example of that, if I may add, take the Treaty of Peace and Friendship between the Moors, the Almoroccan Moors, and the European corporation, which they call the United States. It is the longest treaty in the world, which will be signed every 50 years. And it has the only unbroken treaty in the world. Let's go on. The treaties made between the indigenous sovereign nation, home government, and any foreign sovereign nation are constitutional in force. Okay, let's go here to the things that connect us to our sovereignty, to our nationality. Here you go, sovereignty. Okay, sovereignty is the supreme political authority and self-sufficiency of a nation of people to govern their internal affairs without interference or dictation from a foreign government. The internal affairs include making laws, executing or applying the law, collecting taxes and levying contributions, making war or peace, forming treaties of alliance, entering into commerce with foreign nations, and the like. Okay? The sovereignty of a nation of people is tied to their birthright. Birthrights are citizens, unalienable rights, and that are lawfully recognized at birth by the international governments. Now let's go to the word unalienable or unalienable. Okay? I agree with Dr. Aileen El-Bay when he said that actually you should pronounce it as unalienable. Why? Because you cannot be leaned upon. No one can put liens on you or your property. That is a true birthright of a people, of a sovereign nation that have nationality. Okay? Let me go on. The sovereignty of a nation is lawfully recognized by their nationality, family, names, title, land, constitution, flag, and seal. These national symbols, when publicly declared, when consistently used in the public, and when registered with the governments of the earth, particularly with the sovereign nations in which a people live or visit, allow a nation of people to be lawfully recognized by the international body politics, thereby receiving international protection at law. This is why you say, like brothers, like I have to repeat it again and again and again and again, because a lot of us say that the conscience is out here. The conscience is out here. One brother told me, well, the conscience is not out here enough. It's not here near enough. It's really not. The consciousness is out here, but it's nowhere near enough where it should be, where it have a real effect on changing things and changing our condition, and changing the condition of our people. Because if it was, a lot of people like Mike Brown and Eric Gardner and Trayvon Martin and, you know, and others would not have to be going through the things they're going through, the people that their families, I should say. So let me go on, okay? However, when a nation of people, birthrights are asserted or denied, they are no longer sovereign. As a result of this Social Civic Act, the nation of people no longer have the supreme political authority and self-sufficiency to administer their internal affairs and will no longer be lawfully recognized by the international governments as sovereign. There you go. That's why a lot of us are catching hell now. because a lot of our sovereignty, birthright thefts, have been have stolen our birthright from us. Now they're using our birthrights instead of us. We are going around with belief systems, religious beliefs, calling ourselves black, Negro, and colored, people of color, African-American, you know, black, and all these other crazy mess and crazy names and brands, name brands. There has no real to call lawful status. I wouldn't say legal status, because lawful status and legal status are legal and lawful are two different systems. Okay? Also, as a result of the mentioned Social Civic Act, the enslaved nation of people will no longer receive international protection at law. This Social Civic Act constitutes slavery, which means that a foreign government is interfering or dictating the internal affairs of a sovereign nation of people. To give you an example, okay, give you a clear example. Let's go to parentage names, okay? Names, in particular, parentage family names are synonymous with nationalities and lawfully tie a people to a land, constitution, flag, and seal, thereby giving them national and international protection at law. Okay? I'm going to repeat this again. Names, in particular, parentage family names are synonymous with nationalities and lawfully tie a people to a land, constitution, flag, and seal, thereby giving them national and international protection at law. Therefore, when you name Brown, like Mike Brown, or Gardner, or Martin, therefore they had no protection at law because they were still carrying the name brands of their slave owners or their property owners, which they were still property. They were still property. So therefore, the law or international law cannot see them. They cannot see property. You're thinking, well, what do property need with rights? What do you need with rights if you use someone else's property? Still under the three-fifths human being clause of the 14th Amendment. Let me go on. This Social Civic Act constitutes slavery, which means that a foreign government is interfering or dictating the internal affairs of a sovereign nation of people. Okay, I read that already. Let's go here to parentage names. Okay, let's give them an example, another example they have here. Okay, let me read it off to you. Names, and particularly parentage family names, are synonymous with nationalities and lawfully tie a people to a land, constitution, and flag and seal, thereby giving them national and international protection at law. Parentage names and nationalities identify and distinguish pedigrees throughout the world. As a case in point, the parentage names like Lincoln, Williams, Jefferson, Jones, and Franklin indicates that the persons with these family names are of English pedigree. Therefore, their nationality is English, and their national land is England. Get it? Okay, let me go on. The family names Da Vinci, Donatello, Boccaccio, Abruzzi, Donizetti indicate that those persons with these surnames are Italian, pedigree parentage. Therefore, their nationality is Italian, and their national land is Italy. Let me go on again. The family names Walsermuller, Von Bülow, Steinmetz, Humboldt, and Tischendorf indicate that those persons with these names are of German pedigree parentage. Therefore, their nationality is German, and their national land is Germany. Birthright inherited national land, okay? The land of a sovereign people is their heritage. Heritage is the tangible substance that is owned and possessed by right through inheritance, birthright. It is passed down through generations and is possessed and title in the family's nation's name. National land is protected and maintained with the knowledge of the people's birthright, nationality, parentage, family name, national constitution, flag, and seal. The culture and heritage belong to the sovereign citizens. Okay. A lot of people say, like, they think the government is actually the government. But it is a corporation. It is not the government. As I said, and I say it again, I know those of you who have heard me before, when you go apply for a job, send in a resume, and they had on your application, are you a citizen of the U.S. or USA? Most people think that what they are talking about, are you legally born here? Meaning, are you legally born here to work or to find work here? That's not what they're asking you. Are you an employee of the United States Corporation? Because that's all what it is, a foreign corporation under the British Crown of England, also in control by the Vatican of Rome. The Queen of England also has control of your birthright. She has it. She owns you. Okay? Let me go on. Here we go. Again, dealing with nationality. The National Constitution. A national constitution is the lawful written contract among the sovereign people of one nation through the mother, the sovereign people of one nation has agreed to submit themselves to the agree upon law jurisdiction of their parentage nation for the promotion of their general welfare, protection, and the individual as well as collective rights to life, liberty, and property. This is their birthrights. Political rights and civil liberties are received when the people of one nation, a majority vote, agree to surrender some of their sovereignty in a limited capacity. Political rights and civil liberties are only be exercised in the formation or administration of the government. These political rights and civil liberties are established and recognized by a national written constitution. This contractual agreement, constitution, gives the sovereign people of the nation the rights and privilege to participate directly or indirectly in the establishment or administration of the national government. The sovereign people delegate some of their sovereignty in a limited capacity in a government structure. Qualified electors and or representatives among the people are selected and thereby given the sovereign power relinquished to them by their sovereign people. The qualified electors and or representatives in turn delegate power to others selected among the sovereign body of the one nation to assist the governing the affairs of a sovereign body. Yeah, the qualified electors and our representatives have the responsibility to govern the internal affairs of the nation, executing or applying the law, collecting taxes, levying contributions, making war or peace, making treaties of alliance, entering into commerce with foreign nations, and the like. This is why a lot of us will tell that this is the corporation, because the real government, the actual organic government, our government, has been overthrown. The reason why a lot of people ask, well, where is it? We don't see it. No, we don't see it, because most of our people are still asleep. Therefore, the government is asleep. That is our republic form of government, which is a government by law. Now you live in the government by contracts, merchant law. So let me go on. Now let me go on with the issue, the Negro issue, okay? We start with, let's say, let's make a slave. It's dealing with the William Lynch program. I know many of you have heard of Willie Lynch. Okay, some of you haven't. Anyway, let me go on to what is said here. It was the business of slaveholders to study human nature, and the slave nature in particular, with the view to practical results. I and many of them attained astonishing proficiency in this direction. They had to deal not with earth, wood, and stone, but with men, and by every regard they had for their own safety and prosperity, they needed to know the material in which they were to work. Conscious of the injustice and wrong they were every hour perpetrating and knowing what they themselves would do. Okay. Were they the victims of such wrongs? They were constantly looking for the first signs of the dreaded retribution. They watched, therefore, with skill and practice and practiced eyes, and learned to read and great accuracy the state of mind and heart of the slave. Through his stable face, unusual sobriety, apparent abstractions, sullenness, and indifference induced any move of the common or was afforded ground for suspicion and inquiry. Okay, I'm going to go over this and what it said. Were they the victims of such wrong? They were constantly looking for the first signs of the dreaded retribution, meaning that we had Europeans enslaved first. We had them enslaved. We had them, a lot of them, even in the hillsides and cave-sides of Europe. We took so many of their women that we had them to go outside of the cold, outside of their caves, looking for food and shelter, and being among themselves. Among dogs, among themselves. That's what created homosexuality and bestiality among themselves. And we did that to them. This was our doing. So now they were looking for retribution. But as you look through the history of so-called misnomer black history, we had already paid the debt for that. Okay? Now let me go on. Okay. It says here, Frederick Douglass. It says here, let's make a slave. It's a study of the scientific process of man breaking and slave making. It describes the rationale and the results of the Anglo-Saxons' ideas and methods of eschewing that master-slave relationship. Let's make a slave. The original and development of a social being called the Negro. Here we are, the Negro issue, the Negro problem, okay? Let us make a slave. What do we need? First of all, we need a black nigger man, a pregnant nigger woman, and her baby nigger boy. Second, we will use the same basic principle that we use in breaking a horse, combined with some more sustaining factors. What we do with horses is that we break them from one form of life to another. That is, we reduce them from their natural state to nature. Whereas nature provides them with the natural capacity to take care of their offspring, we break that natural string of independence from them and thereby create a dependency status, so that we be able to give from them useful production and pleasure. Okay, so the cardinal principles for making a Negro. For fear that our future generation may not understand the principles of breaking both together, the nigger and the horse, we understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos, so that to avoid turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth, depth, and long-range comprehensive planning, articulating both skill, sharp perceptions. We lay down the following principles for long-range comprehensive economic planning. both horse and nigger is no good to the economy in the wild or natural state. Both must be broken and tied together for orderly production. For orderly future, special and particular attention must be paid to the female and the youngest offspring. Are you listening? Okay. Both must be crossbreed or crossbred to produce a variety and division of labor. Both must be taught to respond to a particular new language, psychologically and physically. Instruction of containment must be created for both. We hold the six cardinal principles as truth to be self-evident based upon the following: the discourse concerning the economics of breaking and tying the horse and the nigger together, all inclusive of the six principles laid down about. Principles alone will suffice for good economics. All principles must be employed for orderly good of the nation. According both a wild horse and a wild nature nigger is dangerous, even if captured, for they will have the tendency to seek their customary freedom and, in doing so, might kill you in your sleep. You cannot rest. They sleep while you are awake and are awake while you are asleep. They are dangerous near the family house and requires too much labor to wash them away from the house. Above all, you cannot get them to work in this natural state. Hence, both the horse and the nigger must be broken, breaking them from one form to a mental life to another. Keep the body, take the mind. In other words, break the will to resist. This says at one statement I was reading in one book, when they said, that man must have lost his mind, didn't he? That means they have lost their mind. They have lost control of their mind. Therefore, somebody else have it. Somebody else working with it. Somebody else controlling your mind instead of you. If you see the movie, I don't know how many of you saw the movie Sleepy Hollow. It was a good movie. The Horseman. He was running around, chopping off people's heads. Almost at the end of the movie, they found out who was actually controlling the headless horseman. It was this witch that was controlled his head. She had his head. Then finally he got his head back on his shoulders. She had no more control over him. So therefore, the headless horseman could make his own decisions now. He had more control of himself. He was more in control. All right. Let me continue on. All right. Says here, I'll say it again. Keep the body, take the mind. In other words, break the will to resist. Now, breaking the process is the same for both and the horse and the nigger, only slightly varying degrees. But as we said before, there is an art in long-range economic planning. You must keep your eye and thoughts on the female and the offspring of the horse and the nigger. A brief discourse of offspring development will shed light on the key to sound economic principles. Pay little attention to the generation of original breaking, but concentrate on future generations. Don't have much time here. They're getting ready to cut me off, but I'm going to keep on going until they cut me off, as always. All right, sisters and brothers, keep on listening to those who are listening. All right? Therefore, if you are breaking the female mother, she will break the offspring in its early years of development, and when the offspring is old enough to work, she will deliver it up to you. For her normal female protective tendencies, we have been lost in the original breaking process. For example, take the case of the wild stud horse, a female horse, and an already infant horse, and compare the breaking process with two captured Negro males and their natural state. A pregnant Negro woman with her infant offspring. Take the stud horse, break him for limited containment. Completely break the female horse until she becomes very gentle, whereas you or any body can ride her in her comfort. Breed the mare and the stud until you have the desired offspring. Then you can turn the stud to freedom until you need him again. Train the female horse, whereby she will eat out of your hand, and she will in turn train the infant horse to eat out of your hand. Also, when it comes to breaking the uncivilized nigger word, use the same process. But women, when it comes to breaking the uncivilized nigger, use the same process by vary the degree and step up the pressure so as to do the do complete reversal of the mind. Take the meanest and most restless nigger, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining male niggers, the female and the nigger infant, tar and feather him. Tie each leg to a different horse, face in an opposite direction. Set him on fire and beat both horses to pull him apart in front of their remaining niggers. The next step is to take a bull whip and beat the remaining nigger male to the point of death in front of the female and the infant. Don't kill him, but put the fear of God in him, for he can be useful for future breeding. This is the making of the Negro. All right? Okay, let me continue. Okay. It says, break in the process of the African woman, the female, and run a series of tests on her to see if she will submit to your desires willingly. Test her in every way, because she is the most important factor for good economics. If she shows any sign of resistance in submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate to use the bullwhip on her to extract that last bit of bitch out of her. Take care not to kill her, for in doing so, you will spoil good economics. Are you listening so far? This is deep, ain't it? All right. When in for complete submission, she will train her offsprings in the early years to submit to labor when the coming of age. Understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we shall go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here to this breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship in her natural uncivilized state. She would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male, and she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring, and would raise male offsprings to be dependent like her. Nature had provided for this type of balance. We reverse nature by burning and pulling a civilized nigger apart and bullwhipping the other to the point of death and all in her presence. By being left alone unprotected without the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to be moved from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offsprings in reverse roles. For fear of the young male's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong, because she has become psychologically dependent. She will train her female offsprings to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You've got the Negro woman out front and the Negro man behind and scared. That's how they did us. This is the system. That's why we are so jacked up today that way we are. Okay? Let's go to the Negro marriage unit. The Negro marriage unit. We breed two nigger males with two nigger females. Then we take the nigger male away from them and keep them moving and working. Say one nigger female bears a nigger female, and the other bears a nigger male, both nigger males being without influence of the nigger male image, frozen with the independent psychology, and will raise their offspring into reverse positions. The one with the female offspring will teach her to be like herself, independent and negotiable We negotiate with her through her, by her, negotiates her at will. The one with the nigger male offspring, she being frozen subconscious of fear for his life, will raise him to be mentally dependent and weak, but physically strong. In other words, body over mind. Now, in a few years, when these two offsprings become fertile for early reproduction, we will mate and breed them and continue the cycle. That is good, sound, and long-range comprehensive planning. Boy, that is called the Negro marriage unit. Okay, that's dealing with the Negro issue. All right? Okay, here you get control language. Here you get the, no. Here you get warning. Possible interloping negatives. Earlier, we talked about two non-economic good of the horse and the nigger and their wild or natural state. We talked out the principle of breaking and tying them together for orderly production. Furthermore, we talked about paying particular attention to the female savage and her offspring for orderly future planning. Then more recently, we stated that by reversing the positions of the male and female savages, we created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever unless a phenomenon occurred and result unless a phenomenon occurred and reshift and positions of the male and female savages. Our experts warned us about the possibility of this phenomenon occurring, for they say that the mind has a strong drive to correct and recorrect itself over a period of time. If I can touch some substantial original historical base, and they advise us that the best way to deal with the phenomenon is to have shave off the brute's mental history and create a multiplicity of phenomena of illusions so that each illusion will twirl in its own orbit, something similar to the floating balls in a vacuum. This creation of multiplicity of phenomena of illusions entails the principle of crossbreeding. The nigger and the horse, as we stated above, the purpose of which is to create a diversified division of labor, thereby creating different levels of labor and different values of illusion at each connecting level of labor, the result of which is the reverence of the points of the original beginnings for each sphere illusion. Since we feel that the subject matter may get more complicated as we proceed in laying down our economic plan concerning this reason and effect of crossbreeding horses and niggers, we shall lay down the following definition terms for future generations. Orbiting cycle means a thing turning in a given path. Axis means which are around with a body turns. Phenomena means something beyond ordinary conception and inspires all and wonder. Multiplicity means a great number, means a globe. Crossbreeding a horse means taking a horse and breeding it with an ass, and you get a dumb, backward ass, long-headed mule that is not reproductive nor productive by itself. Crossbreeding niggers means that so many drops of good, so-called misnomered white blood, and putting them into as many nigger women as possible, varying the drops by the various tone that you want, and then letting them breed with each other until another circle of color appears as you desire. What this means is this: put the niggers and the horse in a breeding pot, mix some asses and some good so-called white blood, and what they do get? What do you get? You get a multiplicity of colors of ass backward unusual niggers running tied to a backward ass long-headed mules. The one productive of self and other sterile. The one constant and the other dying. We keep the nigger constant, for we may replace the mules for another. Both mule and nigger tied to each other, neither knowing where the other came from, and neither productive for itself nor without each other. You have controlled language. Crossbreeding completed. For further severance from the original beginning, must completely annihilate the mother tongue of both the new nigger and the new mule, institute a new language and that involves the new life's work of both. You know, the language is a particular institution. It leads to the heart of a people. The more a foreigner knows about the language of another country, the more he is able to move through all levels of that society. Therefore, if the foreigner is an enemy of the country, to the extent that he knows the body of the language, to that extent is the country vulnerable to attack or invasion of a foreign culture. For example, if you take a slave, if you teach him all about your language, he will know all your secrets, and he is then no more a slave, for you can fool him any longer. And being a fool is one of the basic ingredients of an accident to the maintenance of the slavery system. For example, if you told a slave that he must perform in getting out crops and he knows the language well, he would know that our crops didn't mean our crops, and the slavery system would break down, for he would relate on the basis of what our crops really meant. For instance, I can give you, for instance, myself. You see a lot of our people, they say, for instance, like when you're in war, they say our Army, our Navy, our Air Force, our Marines, our Coast Guard, ours. Well, we have interests over there in South America to protect American interests, to protect U.S. interests. But you don't have any interest in these countries or in these foreign lands. That's the ruling elite's interest that they have over there, not yours. You don't have interest over there. Our Navy, you don't have a Navy. You don't have an Army. You don't have a standing Army, Navy, or Air Force, or Marines, or Coast Guard. It all belongs to the corporation. The country belongs to us, which is America, North, South, and Central America, and the adjoining islands. Those are our countries. Those are our lands. They belong to us. They belong to us, the Aboriginal Indigenous Moors. This is our land. We must take it back. We must get back and get it back to be consciously. To be constantly alive and awake consciously and not asleep, so we can awaken our republic form of government. I see at least about 80 to 90% of us would awaken and awaken our republic form of government. The whole game is over. I wouldn't be on this blog talk show right now talking to you if things were the way they're supposed to be. But those of you that know they're not the way they're supposed to be. So therefore, that's why I'm on this blog talk show tonight. Okay? Okay, I'm going to read an excerpt from a brother named Daria Bay, Freemore. Okay? Out of the pain and the suffering of the children from the Moabite nations came a man who heard our plea. Father, everything to me, Elohim, great spirits of the seven, creations that be, please redeem myself, my race, and generations to be. Great Father, great spirits, I plead to thee, give me back what belongs to me. Hear me, Father, hear my plea, give me back all that is for me. My name is my nationality, birthrights and religion that was stolen away from me. And there he came to me, and all the tribes of the Moors that used to be free. He stood his ground and loosened the keys that opened the seals of the hidden secrets that kept us back from being free. So now I have stand here and proclaim who I am. I am free. His name is Prophet